Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Mom says her other personality injured child. A series of Ector County Sheriff's Office affidavits detail a 36-year-old woman filed multiple false reports in which another woman named Diamond had assaulted her and her 6-year-old daughter, but investigation showed Diamond was another personality by the woman who was arrested. Wendy Morales was charged with injury to a child with bodily injury, a third-degree felony, 3 counts of false report to a police officer, a Class B misdemeanor, and criminal mischief, a Class B misdemeanor. The false reports to police officers began at 9:01 p.m. March 22nd in the 8600 block of Juanita Avenue, and ECSO affidavit stated. The second false report was April 1st, and the final was April 14th. Wendy Morales reportedly told deputies on March 22nd she was physically assaulted by her friend, 38-year-old Diamond Gonzalez, after she returned from her girlfriend's house in the 1200 block of Whitaker Avenue. Morales stated Diamond punched her on the right side of her face, the affidavit stated. There were no physical injuries, red marks, or swelling to Morales' face. Investigation showed there's no identifiable record for such a person. Neighbors haven't seen a black female at or around the 8600 block of Juanita Avenue who associates with Morales, and they have never met or seen Diamond Gonzalez. During an interview with Morales' 6-year-old daughter, she reportedly told deputies her mother refers to herself as Diamond, along with other names. A computer check showed Morales has several Facebook profiles, including one that identifies her as Diamond. Morales has been convicted twice for false report to an officer, March 3, 2012, and December 12, 2012, in Suffolk County Sheriff's Department in New York. At 11:49 p.m. April 1st, Morales stated she was physically assaulted and threatened with a knife by her friend Diamond, the affidavit detailed. Morales didn't deny referencing herself as Diamond during a phone conversation. About 11 hours later, at 10:58 a.m. April 2nd, Morales reportedly told deputies that her friend Diamond had physically assaulted her 6-year-old daughter. Morales didn't recall the report made for herself 10 hours prior. The ECSO deputy asked if there were only injuries on the child, and they saw what appeared to be a lash mark from a belt across the left shoulder to left lower back of the girl, the affidavit detailed. The 6-year-old was reportedly told by her mother to say Diamond did this to her. Away from her mother's presence, the girl stated her mother identifies as Diamond, and her mother is the one who hits her. During forensic interview with the girl, she stated when her mother gets mad that she will hit her with an open hand, closed hand, and use a belt on her head, back, arms, shoulders, butt, legs, and has threatened to stab her with a knife, the affidavit stated. The girl stated her mother tells her what to say to police, and she does as to not make her mad. The girl also stated her mother has several names for herself, such as Diamond, Red, and Lox. Morales reported at 3:04 p.m. April 14th that her 6-year-old daughter was assaulted by her girlfriend. Morales stated she was arguing with her girlfriend when her daughter got in between them, and the girlfriend swung to hit Morales but hit the daughter on the mouth, which knocked her lower right tooth out. Morales reportedly identified a girlfriend who was 36 years old. Deputies conducted a phone interview with the woman who said she was with her mother and children all day. She also reported she wasn't in a relationship with Morales. During an in-person interview with Morales and the six-year-old girl, it was found that Morales had pulled the girl's tooth out due to it being loose. The new tooth was directly underneath, and it was pushing it out, the affidavit stated. The six-year-old reportedly said during an interview at Harmony Home that she lied because her mom wants her to, and she doesn't want to make her mom mad. Morales was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She has 5 bonds totaling $7,000 and was still in custody as of Thursday afternoon, jail records show. Local news roundup. Police searching for burglary suspect. The Odessa Police Department is reportedly looking for a man involved in multiple robberies. OPD responded to 8 burglaries believed to have been committed by the same man, an OPD press release stated. A photo of the man has been released on the OPD website at tinyurl.com/YD3MP86. Anyone with information is asked to contact Detective I. Davis at 432-335-3333 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS and reference case number 20-06294. ECSO looking for car thief. The Ector County Sheriff's Office is asking the public to help identify a man reportedly involved in the theft of a vehicle at a gas station. The reported theft happened February 25th at the Kent Quick, located at 10173 West University, an ECSO press release detailed. The victim reportedly had pulled into the parking lot to get fuel, and he went into the store. When he exited the store, he saw his car being driven away by an unknown person. Surveillance cameras showed a dark-colored 4-door passenger car driving up by the victim's car at the gas pump, the press release stated. The passenger in this vehicle, reportedly described as a young Hispanic male, exited the vehicle and entered the store. At this time, the driver, described as wearing a gray hoodie and blue jeans, got out of his car and entered the victim's car and drove off without the owner's permission. Anyone with information is asked to contact Investigator Villalobos at the ECSO at 432-335-3050 and refer to case number 20-E0999. ECISD to live stream graduations by Ruth Campbell. Graduation ceremonies for Ector County ISD's class of 2020 will be virtual this year, but they will contain some of the same elements students would have experienced in a face-to-face event. Dates for the graduations are May 22nd and May 23rd, and they will be broadcast at the same time they would actually have been held, Superintendent Scott Murray said. Permian is May 22nd and Odessa High School is May 23rd. The graduations would be live if not for the coronavirus. The one for Odessa Collegiate Academy is at 10 a.m. May 22nd. The one for OC Techs is noon May 22nd. George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa is 2 p.m. May 22nd and PHS at 8:30 p.m. May 22nd. Odessa High School's graduation will be at 8:30 p.m. May 23rd. PCASD has contacted with Herf Jones to contact all students. We started the filming process. We filmed our principals, our valedictorians, and salutatorians. Those sessions are occurring. Then the company is reaching out to every family to provide an opportunity for kids to film a 7 to 10 second segment that will be a part of this virtual graduation experience, Murray said. Then we're announcing that we're going to broadcast live the virtual graduations during the exact time that graduation was scheduled for each of our high schools. So parents can go ahead and lock those days and times into their calendar, and it will match our graduation invitations. Murray said the district plans to broadcast the ceremonies on its Facebook page, but there could be another location as well. He added that more information about that is forthcoming. The family will see their principal giving the principal address, and they'll see the valedictorian and salutatorian. We're videotaping those right now. Each kid has an opportunity to prepare a 7 to 10 second video. Every kid will have their name and image flashed across the screen. We tried to follow as much of the traditional agenda as we could, given the current situation, Murray said. We'll broadcast it live, and the kids can access it at any time. Videos will be available for kids to download or access anytime they want after that. While the district is paying for the virtual graduation, graduates are not being charged. Plans are also to light up Ratliff Stadium the 2 days of graduation in honor of the class of 2020. Death notices for Friday, May 1st. Margie Jo DePoister. Margie Jo DePoister, 73, of Denver City, died Tuesday, April 28th, in Odessa. A graveside service was held May 1st at the Denver City Memorial Park with Reverend Ronnie Lunsford officiating. Arrangements are by Ratliff Funeral Home of Denver City. Guadalupe Hinojos Galindo. Guadalupe Hinojos Galindo, 76, of Odessa, died Monday, April 22nd. Mass will be celebrated at 10 a.m. May 4th at Holy Redeemer Catholic Church. Interment will follow at Odessa 2 section of Ector County Cemetery. Father Fernando Bonilla is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Gloria Franco Madrid. Gloria Franco Madrid, 71, died Monday, April 27th in Fort Stockton. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Barbara Faye Blair Shin. Barbara Faye Blair Shin, 88, of Odessa, died Tuesday, April 28th. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, April 27th, 2020. This article is entitled, Poll, Voters Approve of Business Closures, Stay-at-Home Orders, Despite Economic Blow. The poll results come as Governor Greg Abbott prepares to announce his plans for reopening a wide range of Texas businesses, by Brandon Formby and Ross Ramsey, Texas Tribune. Texas's economy is taking a catastrophic hit, and hundreds of thousands of Texans are out of work, as officials shutter businesses and limit some establishments' operations to stop the spread of the new coronavirus. But while Texans' optimism about the state's economy has fallen, they largely support those measures, according to the latest University of Texas, Texas Tribune poll. 2/3 of registered Texas voters agree with decisions by Governor Greg Abbott and several local officials to suspend non-essential business operations, and more than three-quarters of voters support orders to stay home except for essential activities. The poll's findings come as Abbott says he will soon announce plans to reopen a wide range of Texas businesses. Some hardline Republicans have pressured Abbott, who has taken a middle ground approach in responding to the global health crisis, to relax his statewide stay-at-home order. And Republican Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has suggested that saving the economy was more important than responding to the coronavirus. But after first making that suggestion last month, Patrick has experienced an uptick of disapproval among two groups, registered voters over 65 and independents. The poll was conducted before Patrick went on national television this week and said there are more important things than living, as he advocated for reopening the economy. To the extent that some people are saying Republicans are beating down the doors of their houses, there is no evidence of that in this poll, said James Henson, co-director of the poll and head of the Texas Politics Project at UT Austin. There's no evidence of resisting serious measures. Most of the things that Texans and local governments have done to address the pandemic, like closing schools, prohibiting large gatherings, and restricting some in-person religious services, are favored by strong majorities of registered voters. But there are notable exceptions for state officials' attempts to ban abortion and local officials' push to release some nonviolent jail inmates. Establishing additional hospital facilities to meet anticipated needs, 85% approval. Closing public schools, 83% approval. Requiring travelers from other cities and or states with outbreaks to self-quarantine if they come to Texas, 83%. Prohibiting the size of gatherings to 10 people or less, 80%. Requiring Texans to stay home except for essential activities, 77%. Restricting in-person religious services of more than 10 people, 74%. Closing state parks and recreational facilities, 68%. Suspending the operation of businesses determined to be, quote, non-essential, unquote, 66%. Postponing the May 2020 runoff elections, 55%. Prohibiting healthcare providers from performing abortions, 48%. Releasing some nonviolent offenders awaiting trial in county jails, 44%. Voters' assessment of the economy mirrors the downturn caused by the pandemic. Only 21% say the national economy is in better shape than it was a year ago, while 64% say things are worse now. The voters say the same thing, more or less, about the state economy. 22% say it's better than it was a year ago, and 54% say it's worse. It's worth noting that a dramatic drop in oil prices came after the poll was closed. Asked about the economic conditions in their own households, 28% of Texans say they are better off economically than they were a year ago. 34% say their finances are about the same, and 35% say things are worse now. The University of Texas Texas Tribune Internet Survey of 1,200 registered voters was conducted from April 10th to April 19th and has an overall margin of error of plus or minus 2.83 percentage points. Numbers in charts might not add up to 100% because of rounding. Disclosure: the University of Texas at Austin has been a financial supporter of the Texas Tribune, a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization that is funded in part by donations from members, foundations, and corporate sponsors. Financial supporters play no role in the Tribune's journalism. This article is entitled, Southwest Airlines CEO Warns of Pay Cuts, Drastically Smaller Airline, by Kyle Arnold, Dallas Morning News. Southwest Airlines may have to force cuts in pay and benefits to avoid involuntary furloughs if air travel doesn't improve dramatically in the coming months, CEO Gary Kelly said in a video to employees Thursday. Dallas-based Southwest has suspended more than half of its flights and plans to drop more in the coming weeks. Kelly said the airline will lose more than $1 billion in revenue in April because of the coronavirus turndown. If things don't change dramatically over the May, June, July time periods, We'll have to prepare ourselves for a drastically smaller airline, Kelly said. Life can be very humbling. And as I've said several times, we'll have to be prepared for every possible scenario. The usually upbeat Kelly delivered the message to employees as leaders at other airlines have warned about painful reductions in the months ahead, with air travel expected to be diminished for months, if not years. Delta CEO Ed Bastian told employees last week that it could take 2 to 3 years for the industry to recover. We don't know when it will happen, but we do know that Delta will be a smaller airline for some time, and we should be prepared for a choppy, sluggish recovery even after the virus is contained, Bastian said. Southwest has been slower to cut flights than other airlines, but is still operating at a fraction of its regular size. Thousands of employees there have taken voluntary time off, often unpaid, and the airline has parked hundreds of planes to help reduce costs. Our traffic is virtually zero, Kelly said. Southwest approached union representatives to discuss ways to cut costs and increase revenue while air travel is depressed. Union leaders took the discussion as a threat that pay and benefit concessions could be a possibility. Federal payroll grants and loans ensure the company can't involuntarily reduce pay and headcounts between now and September 30th. Southwest took $3.2 billion in federal grants and loans. We'll likely have to make sacrifices to survive this, Kelly said. The imperative here is to survive. Many companies will not survive this, and it may be through no fault of their own. But Southwest is too precious to lose. Southwest has never furloughed or laid off since it started flying 49 years ago. It's a streak that Kelly said he would like to avoid. But he also warned that the COVID-19 pandemic is the biggest financial challenge the airline and the industry has faced in decades. Some companies have already conceded that they'll have to downsize or, worse, file for bankruptcy, Kelly said. But as I've told you many times, I can't promise or guarantee those things won't befall us. What I can promise is that we will do everything that is humanly possible to avoid those outcomes. Cutting pay or benefits would have to be negotiated with union leaders and voted on by general membership. It's uncertain if things will get that bad, but Kelly said it may be the only option to avoid furloughs. To preserve precious jobs of our co-workers, our friends, our families, I would prefer that we all take a small and hopefully temporary pay cut, he said. Kelly also said he would be the first to take a pay cut if employees do, and said he would be willing to work for free. Kelly has already taken a 10% cut to his base salary. However, union leaders said the basic problem is that the company has far more employees than it needs right now for the number of passengers flying. The company has more than 62,000 workers. On Wednesday, only 98,000 passengers flew in all of the United States, according to government statistics. This article is entitled, Texas Voters: Abbott is Doing Better on Economy Coronavirus Than Trump, by Ross Ramsey, Texas Tribune. Governor Greg Abbott's economic report card is much stronger than President Donald Trump's, according to the latest University of Texas, Texas Tribune poll. The Republican governor also gets good marks from some of the Democrats who are dissatisfied with the president. Overall, 56% of Texas voters approve of the job Abbott is doing, and only 32% disapproved. Asked about Abbott's handling of the economy, 54% approve, including 86% of Republicans and 23% of Democrats. Only 25% disapprove, including 46% of Democrats and 4% of Republicans. That compares with only 49% of the state's registered voters expressing approval of the president's economic policies, a number that represents 89% of Republicans. And a majority of Texas voters, 56%, approve of Abbott's response to the coronavirus outbreak, while 29% disapprove. Most of the Democrats, 51%, disapprove, but just under a third of Democrats, along with 86% of Republicans, give the governor good marks. Democrats as a group aren't suddenly swinging over to Abbott, but you look at his support among Democrats versus Trump's, and it's clear that Abbott is peeling off some support from Democrats, said James Henson, co-director of the poll and head of the Texas Politics Project at UT Austin. He's won some of them over. Trump's handling of the economy gets approving marks from 49% of the state's registered voters, including 89% of Republicans. Another 42%, a group that includes 82% Democrats, disapprove. Voters give him similar grades on his response to the pandemic. While 48% approve, 45% disapprove. The first group includes 86% of Republicans, and the second group includes 84% of Democrats. Voters' assessment of the state overall has slipped since the February UTTT poll. Then 48% thought the state was on the right track and 37% thought it wasn't. Now 43% are upbeat and 43% are downbeat. With Republicans in the state's high offices and in the legislative majority, 71% of Republican voters say the state is on the right track. 73% of Democrats and 49% of independent voters say Texas is on the wrong track. The pandemic topped the list of the most important problems facing the state at 32%. Only 12% of respondents say political corruption/leadership is most important, while another 10% put the economy at the top of their concerns. The approach he was criticized for by some on his right flank won him support not only from a lot of Republicans, but also among Democrats, Henson said. Most voters, 56%, say national efforts to deal with the pandemic are going very or somewhat well. They're more positive about what's going on in Texas. 66% say it's going well. The state gets better ratings on the specifics of its response, providing people with clear information, preventing the spread of the virus, making sure healthcare workers have necessary equipment, and working with local officials. More than half of the voters gave the state approving marks on all of those points, falling just short of a majority on the state's efforts to reduce economic harm. The federal government didn't get marks like those. Working with state and local officials was the only place where a majority of Texas voters said Washington, D.C. was doing a good job. But more than 40% said the federal government did either an excellent or good job on other points. The vast majority of Texans do perceive the virus as a threat, but they're still partisan human beings, many of them with competing concerns, perceptions of threat, perceptions of their own safety and security, Henson said. If you're a political leader, this unambiguously shows you that you will find the vast majority of Texans supporting your action if they believe your action is necessary to halt the spread of the virus. Governments aren't at the front of line for praise for responses to the pandemic. Healthcare officials have the approval of 83% of voters. Local governments get good grades from 64%, followed by state government 57%, the federal government 49%, the news media 34%, and insurance companies 27%. Most of the state's voters think their state government is a good model for other states to follow. But that 58% approval hides the partisan numbers below. 89% of Republicans agree that Texas is a good model, but 56% of Democrats, who hold none of the statewide offices and who are in the legislative minority, are on the other side. The University of Texas, Texas Tribune Internet Survey of 1,200 registered voters was conducted from April 10th to April 19th and has an overall margin of error of plus or minus 2.83 percentage points. Numbers in charts might not add up to 100% because of rounding. Disclosure: the University of Texas at Austin has been a financial supporter of the Texas Tribune, a nonprofit, nonpartisan news organization that is funded in part by donations from members, foundations, and corporate sponsors. Financial supporters play no role in the Tribune's journalism.
Hello, this is April, reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, April 25, 2020. Religion. Churches see numbers surge online. By J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. The coronavirus pandemic had led to increased online attendance for churches such as Stonegate Fellowship and First Baptist Churches and private masses for at least one Catholic parish. Stonegate Fellowship's executive pastor, Larry Gilbert, said their online platforms have blown up since church services have been only online. I think everybody would like to get back to some face-to-face and person-to-person contact, he said. From an online perspective, we have seen a tremendous amount of engagement. Stonegate Fellowship has held its regular Sunday and midweek services. He said their online services are reaching 20,000 people, and actual viewership has been about 8,000 unique individual devices that have been tuning into the services. He said about 5,000 people have been viewing on the Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube platforms. It's been great, and we're trying to figure out how to sustain that when we get back together, Gilbert said, to still be able to capitalize on some momentum with the online platforms that we're using. He said people are ready to put up their laptops and iPads for a while and start coming back to church. Gilbert said Bible studies and youth group participation has also increased during this time. We have a Wednesday night song and stories that our worship team does, and it's been blowing up like crazy, he said. It's a really neat experience for our worship team. Stonegate has had to cancel multiple events, including their youth and children camps. In the last couple of years, we've taken 1,100 kids up to Glorieta, New Mexico for camp, he said. We had to cancel this year, which was going to be the end of May until the first week of June. Then our children's camp we do in the second week in June, so we had to cancel that. So that was a huge disappointment. He said that they are planning an alternative camp type experience for the kids that will take place over the summer. The team is excited about the possibilities they can do for children. Stonegate also holds a celebration for graduating seniors in the early part of May. We are looking at how to celebrate our seniors, Gilbert said. We have a lot of great seniors in our high school group that we want to honor and congratulate. Brian Bodiford, archivist and webmaster for the Diocese of San Angelo, said parishes have moved masses online. We encourage our churches as much as possible to make this available to parishioners through Facebook Live, through their website or YouTube, he said. For the most part, I think that's been working pretty well, and most of them have been trying to get something going, especially during Holy Week. However, sacramental confession is a practice that can't be done remotely, Bodiford said. He said confession can be scheduled with the priest through parish offices. There is not a valid way to do that remotely, he said. We are encouraging our priests to all make times available for confession, and ordinarily during Lent, we do communal penance services. We weren't able to do that this year, but priests have made time available for individual confessions. He said churches have been taking precautions, such as maintaining social distancing and sanitizing the confessional. The pastor of San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, the Reverend Patrick Akpanabong, said he has added two additional days to his normal schedule for confessions, but cannot recall how many people have come to receive the sacrament during this time. San Miguel live streams Masses on its Facebook page. Masses can be attended by 10 or fewer people. Akpanabong said in an email that when guidelines were sent out by Bishop Michael J. Sis, he made an adjustment to limit the number of people allowed for a gathering. In giving thanks, I made adjustments to the reality and utilized the limited number of 10 people allowed for any gathering at this difficult time in my daily private masses and weekend online masses for the spiritual benefit of my parishioners, he said in his email. He said he celebrates morning weekday mass, and 7 to 10 people are attending on each day. Families, as well as individuals who are not related, but are friends, can reserve a private mass. The parish postponed Easter Vigil baptism, First Holy Communion, and confirmation as directed by the bishop and Church Universal, he said. However, not all baptisms have been postponed. It is pertinent to note that many families will prefer to have a larger number at the baptismal celebration of their child and have elected to wait until the pandemic is over. Akpanabong said, "Baptism is not totally postponed, as I have one scheduled for next weekend limited to only 10 people." First Baptist Church senior pastor, Darren Wood, said it's been humbling to see how many people have connected with the church, and not all of those people are from the Permian Basin. "It says to me that there's a spiritual thirst, that people are saying, you know what, maybe I can't meet all of my needs, maybe there's something more in life that I need to connect with," Wood said, "and maybe God is that something." He said he has seen this reflected not just from online sermon attendance, but in conversations as well. "I would say we are trending up, and participation in our small groups. One of them had like 125% more in attendance," he said. "Our small groups are mostly using Zoom, and they are finding a great deal of success." Wood said that follow-up with people tuning into services has been the most difficult part during the pandemic. "People can participate anonymously during online services, and we don't even know they are there," he said. "We have provided two opportunities to take the next step. One, you can text a number which comes to the staff. If you text to the number that we use, then it goes to myself and my team, and then we respond from there." First Baptist Church also started using churchonline.com last Sunday, which allows them to have a chat room while the service is playing live. "It gives us the opportunity to engage people in real time while our services are rolling," he said. "One of my staff members was live chatting with people as they came through, welcoming them and giving them the opportunity to ask questions or learn more about the church." Wood said he hopes that once churches are allowed to meet in person again, that the number of people who attend will be more than before the pandemic. He said the church has also seen strong participation from their televised services in the form of emails, cards, and phone calls to the church. He said his sister's church in Joshua, outside of Fort Worth, held online services for the first time since the pandemic began and has received great support. "I'm hearing from churches across Texas. As they're adapting to the online model, they're finding their people are already there," he said. "My sister's pastor is in his 70s. They do not do streaming. They do not do online giving. 2 weeks ago, they did it for the first time. Their offering need is about $11,000. They took in $25,000 on one day. That was one of the best Sundays they've ever had in the history of the church." He said that now is the time to pivot to a new model for the church to continue spreading the gospel online, even after the pandemic ends. "Of course, we're going to have Sunday night church," he said. "Of course we're going to have opportunities to serve online. We just needed to push." If churches can stream, and what better messages than the gospel, then why not? Get connected. First Baptist Church of Midland, www.facebook.com/FBC Midland/. Stonegate Fellowship, www.facebook.com/StonegateFellowship/. San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, www.facebook.com/sun-miguel-archangel-catholic-church-152-166-274-918-749. Diocese of San Angelo, sanangelodiocese.org. Chickens Can Be Raised in Midland City Limits, by Debbie Rowland, Permian Basin Master Gardener. This year has been full of unexpected changes and challenges, including the run on eggs at the grocery store. I live in the country, and since 2004, I've kept anywhere from 4 to 40 chickens at a time. I knew nothing about keeping chickens until the day I walked in a local feed store with my husband and wandered to the back to see where all the peeping was coming from. Life has never been the same. The breeds of chickens would take a book to discuss, and there are many you can buy. The internet is a valuable tool as well. Top of the list is the Texas A&M Poultry Department. They are a wealth of information and are great about answering questions if you will post on their site. Local chicken owners are getting phone calls about where chickens can be purchased, and the all-important question, do you have any eggs for sale? If you are thinking about getting chickens, here are the basics. Within the city limits, Midland allows up to 4 hens, no roosters. There are chickens that are bred for meat, and others are egg layers. Information is available on hatchery websites. You do not need a rooster to have eggs. Most hens lay an egg approximately every 18 hours, which varies by breed. Chickens need to be in a safe place, away from other pets and small children. They are cute, but fragile. If you buy chicks, you will need to have the nursery ready before you bring them home. I keep the chicks in a cardboard box. Anything will work. About the size a washer would come in. I use a heat lamp in a drop light with a clamp and keep the light clamped on the side of the box. Chicks need to be kept between 95 and 105 degrees in the beginning. If the chicks get hot, they will move to the other side of the box. The bottom of the box needs to be covered and should be changed out daily. Chicks will eat chick starter from a tray. All chickens, regardless of age, require fresh water at all times. Both the feed tray and the waterer are available at feed stores. I have purchased chicks at the feed store as well as ordered them online. If you order them online, they are shipped by the U.S. Postal Service. They arrive by overnight mail, and the post office expects you to pick them up immediately. They will contact you. As in all things, you will have successes and failures. If you decide to give it a shot, hang in there and learn as you go along. For more information, call 686-4700 or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu and westtexasgardening.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, 2020. Hospital Board to Vote on Transport Services by Laura Dennis. Ector County Hospital District Board members are expected to vote in May to award a transportation contract to American Medical Response, the largest medical transportation company in the United States. The contract is for transport of patients between facilities, Medical Center Hospital CEO Russell Tippin said. He said often patients are sent from MCH to other medical care facilities, and often those require out-of-town transport. The contract is for what Tippin called first call, and he addressed recent complaints from local transport companies accusing MCH of not buying local, and complaints that the contract would put local ambulatory transport companies out of business. Tippin said MCH sent out a request for services and that hospital leadership went through a number of local and out-of-area proposals. It comes down to two things, and when it comes to patient safety and protecting taxpayer dollars, Medical Center Hospital will not put either in jeopardy, Tippin said via phone. It is safety first and then protect the taxpayer. Loretta Young, CEO of TACMED Ambulance, said her company serves Midland Memorial and that she felt betrayed that her company and other locals were being cut out of MCH's transport business and that this will put her and others out of business. In my 20 years of healthcare in West Texas, I have seen many transport companies come in and it chokes out local companies, Young said. Tippin said all the companies had a shot at the contract, but he will recommend to the hospital board that AMR be awarded the contract. He disputed the claim that an exclusive contract with AMR means that local transport companies won't be called to MCH to transport patients. This contract is for the right of what we call first call, which means just that, Tippin said. It means that Medical Center will call AMR first when a patient needs to be transported somewhere. But if AMR is busy and cannot transport then, we go on to second call or third call until we get a transport company to move them. He said local companies will still be called for use, but that AMR will always be called first. Tippin, who has been CEO for less than a year, said he inherited transfer service issues that went back to 2017. This is not anything new and has been an ongoing problem that has fallen in my lap and must be taken care of. He and Young met, along with other local owners, and both separately said that the meeting was less than pleasant. Young said she is particularly upset that she has spent more than $1 million to upgrade and purchase trucks. Then I'm told they will go with an out-of-area contract and not a local company, and that will hurt all three of us and put us out of business. Tippin said local companies will continue to be involved and that MCH would be happy to keep them in the loop. He added that there have been issues with the schedule or rotation being used now. Change is always difficult, but I've found that if you put the patient first, that everything else will be taken care of. He said AMR is also affiliated with the helicopter service that MCH uses. It's not a main factor of why we chose them, but it did play a role, Tippin said, adding that all contracts must first be approved by the board. He said AMR's proposal came the closest to checking all the boxes on our list than anyone else. The playing field was level for everybody. As for buying local, Tippin said MCH does purchase many services and items locally and cited medical air gas and use of yard crews. We have local companies plugged in all over the place. Buying local is always the best option, and driving your local economy is always best when you can. But when you are a taxing entity, cost is another big consideration we have to make. AMR, headquartered out of Colorado, is the largest medical transportation company in the U.S., providing emergency and non-emergency services in more than 40 states to more than 4 million patients annually.
And here is To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach for Friday, May 1st. Patient's suggestion on Intertrigo. Dear Dr. Roach, I have read your recent column on Intertrigo, a red rash in moist areas where skin rubs together, and had a suggestion that may be helpful. I was having radiation therapy for breast cancer, and the area under my breast was very sore and inflamed. I bought coiled cotton at a beauty supply shop, plain, not reinforced. I would take a section and triple fold it and place it under the breast. It was such a relief. I still use it in warm weather. If the cotton gets damp or wet, it is simple to change it out. Answer. I appreciate your writing. Keeping the inflamed area dry is an important part of the treatment. Cotton is very absorbent and will keep the skin folds from rubbing up against each other. This might help for intertrigo for many causes, not just in the inflammation related to radiation. Here is Dear Abby for Friday, May 1st. History of addiction clouds Dad's future. Dear Abby, my fiance has two daughters, 14 and 11, from a previous marriage. Their dad, Brett, was just arrested for his fourth DUI, the second within a year. The girls don't trust him anymore, and their image of him has changed greatly. We have always encouraged the girls to stay with their dad on his days, but when they do, Brett rarely does anything with them, and he berates them. I know he misses his girls, and his siblings have told us the girls need to get past this because tomorrow is not guaranteed. I understand. I live my life on that premise. But if Brett isn't willing to change, then why should we continue to encourage his being in their lives? He cares only about his image, not the actual relationship with his daughters. He has a history with drugs and alcohol, and in the past 12 months, he has been fired from three different jobs. This is not the role model the girls need. I know I'm not their father, but it kills me seeing them hurt. Should we encourage them to still visit him, or do we let them decide? I'm a soon-to-be stepfather who only wants what is best for the girls. Parenting in the Midwest. Dear Parenting, when there is a divorce with children involved, custody arrangements are usually dictated by the court. Your fiancé's daughters may not have much choice but to visit their father on his days. That said, the custody arrangement can be altered if it becomes necessary. I agree that someone with four DUIs is not a great role model, and he could be a danger to them if he is still allowed to drive. Encourage the girls to keep you informed of what transpires during their visits with their father. I disagree with the relatives who say they must get past their father's neglect and verbal abuse. Dear Abby, I have three sisters. We are all in our 50s and 60s. Three of us get along great and always have, but we have all had issues with our oldest sister, Lulu. She has gotten angry at us for many different reasons. When our father was terminally ill, she wanted one of us to live with him in his home, even though we thought it was enough that we were there in the same small town and went over there daily. Also, Lulu is a widow and not financially secure, and she feels we have not helped her out enough. There have been times we have gotten along wonderfully, but sadly, it always ends in drama. I miss her regardless of the drama, but she seems to have written us off. She is convinced that she is right and we are bad for her. Must I learn to accept this and move on, or should I try to make it right? My youngest sister wants nothing to do with her. She says Lulu is bad for her mental health. Can you help me to finally resolve this one way or the other? Dysfunctional in New Jersey. Dear Dysfunctional, you are not responsible for Lulu's financial woes. Let her know you are there for her, but cannot help support her financially. I'm sorry you didn't mention whether she has a job. If she doesn't, she needs to find one to supplement her income. Unless you are willing to cave to emotional blackmail and supplement your sister's income for the rest of her life, or yours, accept that it may be time to move on.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Friday, May 1, 2020. Jacqueline Bigger Stars. Note, Bigger Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sign name is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Leo. Happy birthday for Friday, May 1, 2020. You have a way of making your words count. This year, calm and realistic, you conquer the world. You save and acquire future security. Just make sure to safeguard your vocal cords. If single, be aware of being blinded by romantic illusions, or you might pick the wrong partners. If attached, you hang on to your partner through thick and thin. Just let go of the ironic wit sometimes. Pisces likes delicacy. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. You might find yourself having to pay for everyone. Children might prove costly as well. Social plans will be canceled or changed. On the other hand, it is a day of high romance and creativity. Friends, partners, and family are of help. Tonight, enjoy only as you can. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 2 stars. If you are yearning to put forward mothering instincts, put them into domestic projects today. You accomplish a lot with home repair matters. Beware that a clash of wills might manifest itself as well. Take a deep breath and proceed slowly. Tonight, early bedtime. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 3 stars. Things could go a bit awry with a sibling, cousin, or neighbor today. Some may put off commitments or otherwise change their minds. Words are important, so watch what you say. Keep that in mind and act accordingly. Tonight, you rise elegantly to the challenge. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Take advantage of positive opportunities to either increase your income or buy luxury items today. Some of you will experience sudden events that are beyond your control. This will lead to job changes for some of you, the best possible outcome. Tonight, celebrate. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. You choose to take advantage of certain financial opportunities that present themselves today. Big money is involved. This will increase your yearning for distant places in the coming year. This has you rushing to balance your busy schedule. Tonight, take off. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Save social plans for when aspects are better. Today, take the day off for yourself. Get extra rest, as nerves might be on edge and sleep may be difficult. You need to take care of yourself. Avoid socializing, especially if travel is involved. Tonight, early bedtime. Libra, September 23 through October 22. No stars noted. There is a mix of social life and work today. Watch your boundaries. You are attending an important business function when simply chatting. This could lead to overindulging a sweet tooth. You, like everyone, need comfort at this time. Tonight, relax. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Career endeavors still seem a bit shaky, as they will be for some weeks to come. You are strongly affected by the recent events. Avoid making changes that are meant to be permanent, as unexpected hassles might snarl plans. Tonight, take a long, calming bath. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 5 stars. Use opportunistic aspects to make contact with new people. Those foreign-born might appeal strongly. Such individuals have a major impact on your thinking in years to come. You can expect a change in your personal philosophy. Tonight, flaunt yourself. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 4 stars. A confidential conversation with a family member helps you over the rough spots in managing your financial obligations. There might be sudden employment opportunities, especially in medical or other high-tech fields. You most probably represent one. Tonight, write down your dreams. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. Today favors stable and long-term ties. Creativity is heightened through most of today, with teaching and learning emphasized. However, impatience might be experienced with those in your local environment, such as family members. Tonight, dinner with the one you love the most. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 3 stars. You feel lethargic and inattentive when it comes to domestic matters. You appreciate some time spent alone in contemplation, or perhaps just extra sleep or indulgence in hobbies that prove therapeutic for the soul. Tonight, talking it over with your partner. Born today, activist Mother Jones, 1830. Frontierswoman Calamity Jane, 1852. Director Wes Anderson, 1969.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.